Let us pray. God of grace, you give us your love, not to restrict us, but to set us free. Help us by your grace to hear and understand, to listen and discern, to know and choose wisely, by your Holy Spirit, your word in Christ, alive in us, guide us in the way of your wisdom. Amen. A reading from Proverbs. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From God's mouth come knowledge and understanding. God stores up sound wisdom for the upright. The Lord is a shield to those who walk blamelessly, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of faithful people. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your core, to your soul. Enlightenment will wind on you, and understanding will guard you. It will save you from the way of evil, from speaking perversely, from forsaking the paths of uprightness or walking in the ways of darkness, from delight in doing evil or pleasure in being helpful. My wisdom will save you from paths that are crooked and ways that are devious. The word of life.
All of these are dwelling. servant in your arms. Rather than riches on my own, our heart is in you. How lovely is your presence. We find our home in
a reading from James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Creator of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of God's own purpose, God gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of God's creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not serve God's harmony. Therefore, rid yourselves of every bit of filth in you, every vestige of hurtfulness, and humbly welcome the word God has planted in you, which has the power to save you. Be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they look like. But those who are mindful of the perfect law of God's freedom and actively put it into practice, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Those who do not control their tongues deceive themselves. They may think they are religious, but their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the life giver, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their need, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Mark's gospel in the 7th chapter. Some Pharisees and religious scholars from Jerusalem came up to Jesus and gathered around him, and they noticed that his disciples ate with defiled hands. They didn't wash them properly. You see, the Pharisees, and really all the Jews, don't eat unless they have washed their hands in a particular way, thus observing the tradition of the elders. They have all sorts of traditions that they observe about washing cups and pots and bronze kettles. They don't eat food from the market before it's been washed. So they asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled, unclean hands?" And Jesus answered them, "Isaiah prophesied accurately about you hypocrites, where it is written, You people sound like you honor me with your words, but your hearts are nowhere near me. Your worship is worthless because your doctrines are just somebody's ideas. You have abandoned the commandments of God for human traditions. And then Jesus gathered the whole crowd around him and he said, "Now listen up. You need to understand this. There is nothing outside a person that by coming in can make you unclean. It's what comes out that does that." It's from within, from our hearts, that evil intentions arise. Promiscuity and greed and lust and theft and murder, competitiveness, and the failure to listen, arrogance, saying lies about other people, all these evil energies come from within and flow out. That's what makes you unclean. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it might sound like Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees about some sort of arcane, complicated dietary rules and a thousand ways to go wrong. But Jesus is trying to make it really simple. What he's talking about is what matters about religion. When we talk about religion, generally, what people think they have in mind when they talk about religion is beliefs. Right? If you're a Christian, then you believe certain stuff. And it would probably not occur to us to say, well, a Christian is somebody who prays and reads the Bible and goes to church. We would say, well, that stuff is good, but Christians are people who believe this certain bunch of things. To the people of Jesus' day, that would have been incomprehensible. Because for Jews, they don't believe a bunch of stuff. For them, what it means to be Jewish is to follow some practices. You follow the Torah. You keep kosher. You observe the Sabbath. You follow all these actions that are your way of expressing your religion. And if somebody said, well, yeah, but do you believe that Moses actually led the Israelites through the Red Sea? They'll say, well, that's our story, but that doesn't important. What's important is that you keep kosher. So for them, religion is these religious practices. And for a lot of our popular thinking, it's religious beliefs. They're two real different ways of thinking about what religion is. That conflict between those different ways of thinking about religion is what's going on in this story. Because the Pharisees say, well, you're not being religious, which means they're not doing all these rituals. And Jesus says, those rituals are nice, but they don't matter as much as how you treat people. That's Jesus' religion. How you treat people. That's what James says in that letter that Derek just read. This is religion, to take care of the widows and the orphans. To be unstained by all the stuff out there in the world. Jesus is not saying that either our beliefs or our practices don't matter. What he's saying is religion isn't just that stuff. It's not just what you believe, it's how you live. All of Jesus' teachings are about how we live. He doesn't have any teachings in which he says you should believe this instead of that. He doesn't teach a single doctrine. There's only a couple of practices that we could say that Jesus gave us. I mean, there's prayer. His disciples said, teach us to pray, and he did. But, of course, they were already praying. It's not really distinctively Christian. There's communion. Other than that, the practices that Jesus has given us are, well, love your neighbor, forgive those who hurt you. They're ways of treating people. We often tend to think of religion as this sort of static category or status. you either are a Christian or you aren't a Christian. It's kind of like asking, are you a surfer or not a surfer? Well, I've been surfing once. Does that mean I'm a surfer? I don't know. Jesus' question is not, are you a surfer? His question is, are you surfing? His question is not, are you religious? His question is, are you loving God and loving your neighbor? That's your religion. Here's the secret. It's a dynamic process of living out whatever flows out from our hearts. So that's why he goes on that little spiel about all those evil things that make us unclean. They're not rituals that we do. It's whatever flows out of our hearts. An old Chinese proverb says, the pot spills what's in it. If your heart is full of love, then your behavior will be full of love and you will love people. If your heart is full of fear, then your choices will probably be fearful. And your relationships with other people will be fearful. If your heart is full of anxiety or forgiveness or trust or gratitude or anger, that's what's going to flow out into the way you treat people. And Jesus says, that's your religion. Don't fool yourself. Now, we might fool ourselves and say, oh, good, so it doesn't matter what I believe. Our beliefs and our religious practices are what we do and how we think that affect what goes on in our hearts. So we engage in practices and we think about beliefs that nourish love in our hearts so that's what's overflowing, not some other junk. So it turns out that our beliefs and our practices are very important, but not as important as how they flow out into our world, into our lives. So we pay attention to what's going on in our hearts, because that's what's going to be our real religion. You know what a gyroscope is? You know, a wheel, a weighted wheel, and it turns. And the thing about a gyroscope is the faster it turns, the more it insists on turning on the axis that it's turning on. That's how a top works. You spin a top, and it doesn't tip over because it's spinning on this axis until it winds down, and then it can start to tip over. They use those in airplanes so that the airplane can tell which way is up, even if the airplane is zooming around. Only those gyroscopes weigh, 20, 30 pounds, and they spin at like 30,000 RPM. They're these amazing machines that just go zzzz. And when that's doing that, the plane can tip over, but the gyroscope doesn't tip over. That's how the plane knows which way is right side up. There's a trick that these old airmen used to do on rookies who would show up the first day of work. They would land a jet fighter, take the gyroscope out, and then tell some rookie, would you go pick up that gyroscope, which is just in a little box? And they'd say, yeah, sure. And they'd pick it up, and as long as it was perfectly vertical, they wouldn't notice anything. But as soon as they tried to move it, whoa! It was like magic because it had a mind of its own. Love has a gyroscopic effect. It stays on the axis that it's been spinning on, no matter how our lives go. And our religious beliefs and our practices are ways of aligning that gyroscope so that then what flows out into our life is love, not some other crud. So it turns out that it might be that the washing of cups and all of those ritual things is real important, because it's how we align what's in our heart. So we come to worship. That's one of our Christian practices. And if you come to worship in order to see your friends and hear some good music and recharge your batteries, that's sweet, but it doesn't matter. God really doesn't care. Unless you come to worship also to let your heart be filled with the love of God, because that's then what will overflow in your relationships with other people and your relationships with God and the world. And about that, God really does care. So we do have some Christian practices that matter, like reading scripture, or praying, meditating, like engaging intentionally in acts of mercy and justice, like worship and sacraments. And we do those for the purpose of changing what's going on in our hearts, so that what flows out of our hearts is what needs to be flowing out of our hearts. It's the good stuff, the God stuff. That's what we practice and why we practice. That piece from Proverbs in which the writer speaks on behalf of God and says, if you listen to my wisdom, you will be well guided in your life and you won't veer off into the ditch. And we long for that guidance, like we just sang. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Keep me from misstepping. But the guidance isn't a set of rules or ideas or instructions. It's love. We allow our hearts to be so filled and shaped with God's love that that's what guides us. When we make our choices, which is really what religion is all about, the choices that we make, they're loving choices because that's what we have to work with. We've let go of all those other things and we have nothing left but love. And it's love that guides all our choices. So, for instance, we think about that psalm that we sang this morning. How lovely is your dwelling place, O God. Now, if you want, you can just sort of zip through that like you can read any of the Bible. Because it's interesting, you can read the Old Testament to find out what happened to Sennacherib. But what if we read it in order to allow God to change what's going on in our hearts? So we might sit with that simple image of being in the house of God, being in the presence of God, sitting inside God as if God is a house. And we're at home there. We're not guests. We belong. Everybody belongs. Even insignificant wild sparrows, they have a place. They belong. And we meditate on that image of being in the house of God so that that loving hospitality fills us. And our self-doubt begins to melt away. And our judgment of other people begins to feel wrong because they too belong. And all those things in our hearts get changed. That then becomes our true religion. So I invite you to just meditate on that for a minute. Just imagine that you sit here now inside God. That God is like your home, where you belong, where you are loved and safe and cherished. And all your sisters and brothers belong, and they too are safe and cherished. And all of your inadequacy is an illusion, and it can melt away. And all of your fear about the future is unnecessary because you are home where you belong. And all of your anger at other people ignores your belonging, which is deeper, and their preciousness, which is more real. Be with that love and that belonging. God of grace, we give thanks But as Scripture says, you have planted your word in us. Help us always to dwell on that word, to be mindful of that love, to be quick to listen and slow to anger. Let all of our choices, all of our thoughts and actions might be guided by your love. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, forsaking all else, surrendering to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.